I am old enough that I remember when not everything had a time or a date stamp on it, especially the things in your refrigerator. Now, that may make the biologists among us nervous, but I am saying that I remember when the only way you could tell whether food was good or bad was certainly not by looking at a date, but you smelled it, you tasted it, you know, you did whatever, and if it smelled or looked a little hinky, you didn't eat it, but otherwise, you were good to go. Okay? Nowadays, everything has a time and a date stamp on it. We know exactly when it was made. We can tell where it was made from those numbers and all that good stuff. But we need to be grateful that time-day stamps do not apply when it comes to ways of faith. God really doesn't have a time or a day stamp. And we should be grateful, because sometimes our dates may get out of whack, but God knows we're still good. Sometimes we may not be able to sell something after a certain date, but according to God, we still have worth. We, as people of faith, need to remember that Advent is a reminder that it's never too late for working on our ways and our lives of faith. It's never too late for God. God continues to work on us all the time. We've even got that idea of purgatory, that even if we don't get it all completely fixed right here, on this side, that God will still help us fix it as we get closer and closer to seeing him on the other side. That's what our whole sense of the thing here is, that God does not give up on us, that God continues to offer us a life of grace, that God continues to offer us a life of faith. And our ancestors in the faith were like that too, and our stories bear that out this evening. Baruch preaching to a group of people that the previous prophet had finally just said, there is no hope for you. God is going to have to flatten you in such a way that's all. He's going to just be able to take the remnant and start over again. He's just going to have to start clean with you people. And now Baruch gets to preach in the middle of all that. And Baruch winds up saying to everybody, you know, hey, God's not finished with you. God's going to call forth from you what needs to be called forth. Light will still shine upon you. So be ready. Reform your lives. Get your act together, because God will still come for you. That's what Baruch is saying. We stop and we see that even the last and the greatest of the prophets, John the Baptist, okay, in our gospel today, as he's coming onto the scene and preaching in a world that is, again, rife with trouble, all kinds of problems and invading, you know, presence in their midst. Everybody wanted to throw off the oppressor so that they can be free. And into the midst of this, John comes proclaiming a baptism of repentance. John comes into everyone's midst, again, reminding everybody the words of Isaiah the prophet. You have to make ready the way for the Lord. And again, I don't think he was talking about road building here specifically. I think we have learned to see symbolically that he was talking about building the roads of our hearts that God can find a way in. And he's saying, yes, every part that needs a little work, don't give up. Keep working on it. Prepare your hearts. If there are rough spots in the road, make them smooth. If there are dips, fill them in. If there are barriers in your way, get rid of them. Because God still wants to come into your heart. God still wants to be part of your life. That's the reason why Paul dares to say to the church at Philippi, okay? See, has the Christian church ever not been somewhat of a mess? Ever? If you're thinking that you're trying to remember something historically, just think to yourself, no, never. Okay? We have always been under construction. And that's why he dares to say to the church at Philippi, as imperfect and sinful as it might have been, and that's why God, who's begun this good work in you, is going to bring it to fulfillment. We have to have hope. We have to have hope that our lives can be better. We have to have hope that our hearts might be able to be a little bit more the way God wants them than the way than they just are on their own. We have to have hope that this messy world of ours in which we live might have a little bit more of the presence of Jesus in it because you and I are there. And I know we're tired. So I always said to the seminarians, learn to live tired. I hope Father Chaz believes it now. And Father Paco. All right? We live tired. Of course we do. All you guys who got finals this week, okay? You're living tired. All of you that are getting ready to end one semester and begin another one just about twice you blink, you're tired. All of you who continue to shop and cook for your family and clean it up and then start over again the next day, of course you're tired. We're all tired. Life makes us tired. But the way that we can't be tired is in the ways of faith. The ways that we can't be tired are in the ways of hope. The ways that we can't be tired are in the ways of love. Because God's not finished with us yet. God began a good work in us. And we're nowhere near fulfillment. But the hope is that God continues to speak a voice to us in this Advent time, that the Lord still comes. The Lord still comes. So be ready. Be waiting. Keep working on your lives and your hearts. Prepare a way for the Lord. And in that regard, let's be grateful if we check the bottom of our heel. There is no time or date stamp.